It's great to be here yet again, Singles and Campus together.
Yeah.
Let's go. Fired up about that. And you get to hear me again. So if you were there Sunday, we talked about our work in the Lord is our believing in Jesus. And it's such an incredible concept and thing to remind ourselves that our work is believing. And the other things that we do, that's our duty, but our true work is believing in Jesus. And I love that because it makes it very simple for me. It compacts it. I'm going, oh, that's easy for me to do. Well, not always, but that's a single-minded track. And that's what I need. I cannot multitask at all. I have to be able to do one thing at a time. That's even how I eat my food. You got the mashed potatoes, you got the steak.
One pea at a time?
No, it's impossible. Anyways, it's great to be here. But tonight we're going to talk about life through death. And there's many paradoxes in the Bible, and that's one of them. There can only be life through death. That's now and also afterlife. So go ahead and open up to Galatians chapter 2. But I like biblical paradoxes. Because they don't make sense, yet they make perfect sense. Mm-hmm. All at the same time.
And when you see them, the universe doesn't explode.
Very true. I'm grateful for that. All right, so Galatians chapter 2, starting in verse 11. So we're going to read basically what happened here. Starting in verse 11, it says, when Peter came to Antioch, he opposed him to his face, because he was clearly in the wrong. Before certain men came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group. The other Jews joined him in his hypocrisy so that by their hypocrisy, even Barnabas was led astray. When I saw that they were not acting in line with the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter in front of them all, you are a Jew, yet you live like a Gentile and not like a Jew. How is it then that you force Gentiles to follow Jewish customs? We who are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners know that a man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by observing the law. Because by observing the law, no one will be justified. If while we seek to be justified in Christ, it becomes evident that we ourselves are sinners, does that mean that Christ promotes sin? Absolutely not. If I rebuild what I destroyed, I prove that I am a lawbreaker. Yeah. For through the law I died to the law, so that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. So there's a couple things going on here. So Paul arrives and Peter confronts him basically in the cafeteria. You know, that was a big thing in high school. The cafeteria, that's where the fights went down. That's where all the cliques happened. And we see that's what Peter is doing here. He's always sitting with the Jews. And he separated himself from the Gentiles. And Paul confronts Peter to his face in front of everybody. Peter was falling back into his old habits. It was a sinful habit. It was racism and exclusion. And Paul saw that this did not line up with the gospel, so he called him out. It was starting with the fear of certain men, called the men of the circumcision group. So what these men taught was, if you're a Gentile and you want to be a Christian, you must be circumcised. And if you read any of the epistles, it will talk about circumcision, because that's something Paul continued to refute. If you're a Gentile, you do not have to be circumcised, because the law means nothing now. It's all faith in Christ. And amen for that.
Amen.
But we see here that fear won Peter over. He let fear control him, and he separated himself from the Gentiles. And he only ate with the men of the circumcision group. And by that, he drew others to do that as well. Well, if Peter's doing that, I guess I should do that as well. Can someone close that door? Thanks. So Paul is reminding them here in this whole passage that we're all in the same boat. Paul reminds them, hey, we're all sinners. None of us are justified by the law. None of us. And if you want to do a study on the law, that's a great study. I think there was like 1,613 laws. So a law, the law in this means the Old Testament law. It is not new Christian duties. Okay, it's not New Testament Christian duties. That is not the law. The law is sacrifices, planting certain things, eating certain foods. That entails the law. And he's reminding them that we're all sinners and we all need to be justified by Christ. We all need to be justified with Christ. Without Jesus, there is no hope. No matter how much you pray, no matter how many good acts you do, no matter how righteous you are, no matter how many times you go to church a week, or how many times you read your Bible, no matter what you do, without Jesus, there is no hope.
Right.
It doesn't matter. And we see that in verse 17. It says, if while we seek to be justified in Christ, it becomes evident that we ourselves are sinners, does that mean that Christ promotes sin? Absolutely not. And so Paul is telling them, don't you realize the fact that we're all in the same boat? So whether you're circumcised or not, whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, we're all sinners and we all need to be justified by Christ. We're all destined for hell, and the only portal to life is Jesus. The only hope that we have is with Jesus. And the way we walk through that portal is by dying. The only way to have life is through death. And we see that in verse 20. It says, I have been crucified with Christ, meaning I die, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me.
Amen.
I no longer live. Insert your name. Stephen Little no longer lives. Fred Amon no longer lives. You know, just insert your name. You no longer live. Your old ways are gone.
Amen.
Your habits, your practices, your fears, the things that you found confidence in, things that made you feel insecure, your ideologies, your mindset, your views, everything is gone.
Amen.
Everything is done. You know, not too long ago, I would drink to the point of blacking out. I would try to start fights. I would lie about everything, and life was a big game to me. I didn't take it serious. I was convinced that I was going to heaven, yet at the same time, I told people Satan had full control of my life, and I would do whatever he told me. I would do whatever he wanted me to do. I feared that I was the Antichrist, yet I was still convinced that I was going to heaven. I knew very few Christians, and I thought that the Bible was corrupt. I thought it was like the game of telephone. Well, if it's translation, then we can't trust it. It can't be real. I was superstitious of others because I myself lied all the time. And a true friend to me was someone that helped me while I was wasted. That's what I defined as a true friend. I was extremely prideful. And in my mind, I knew that I was the man and that you were lucky if you were my friend. I had many prejudices, yet I claimed that I had none. I lived two lives. I was a liar. I saw no need for God. And life was just whatever I wanted it to be. And God, in his great mercy, humbled me and he took everything away from me. And when he took it all away from me, I realized where I was. I realized how much of a mess I was. I realized all the lies. I saw where I was, finally. And so I died. And I began a new life. I put all of that stuff behind me.
Amen.
And I said, know what? Let's start new. Let's start fresh. Let me forget all that stuff. Let me put all of that to death. Let me crucify myself so that I can have life. Let me die so that I may live.
Amen.
I want a couple of you to share shortly things that you used to do or who you used to be before you died. All right. Come on, bro.
I was basically a pothead, a druggie. I would go to concerts all the time, just metal concerts, smoking, drinking, doing pills. I was all about myself. It was selfish. I was definitely the man in my own eyes. I had my own group of friends. I was the leader of them, and it was just all about me and about pleasing myself and seeking pleasure. And I put all that to death so I could have Christ. So.
Amen. I'm going to sit down. I was a fearful, timid, insecure, impure coward.
Okay. Thank you for sharing. Ladies?
I'll go.
Okay, T.
Before I became a disciple, sexually immoral, I cursed like a sailor, short-tempered, prone to violence. The list goes on. We'll be here all night if I continue. So that was me.
Okay. Thank you.
I was prideful, timid, insecure, very fearful. And my idol was my books were my idol. So before I gave it all up for Jesus, I dated women, I drank, I smoked weed, I was clubbing, I stole, I ran away from home, also cursed like a sailor, I was trashy, and empty. I didn't care about anything, and I actually didn't care about being alive. I didn't see any hope for my life, and I didn't know why I was around each day.
Okay. So shy in here.
It's been a long time since I've been called shy.
Come on, girl.
I was shy.
Nice.
I smoked a lot of pot. I put the pot business on the map. I had sailors get up and leave my table. foul mouth. I was pretty, I got along with people pretty well and everything, but I was pretty much insecure. And now I see that also among that insecurity, I felt like I was the man, and, I don't care if you like me or not, that kind of thing. So Jesus got a hold of me and said, die. And I quit smoking pot. I hope to be a little more humble than I used to be. And my language is better.
Amen.
And I never got on a ship, so I'm good with that. But, I'm coming up on my 19th birthday, so.
Nice.
The change in my life has just been, I wish I'd done it when I was your age, and frisky, or wish I was less frisky and more righteous back then. But it's something to hold on to. If you die to Christ, hang on.
Amen. Can you share, Kevin?
Yeah.
We all have like crazy drug stories. Let's get a little different perspective.
Well, I was very angry. I was I like to fight. Very prideful, insecure, selfish. Drugs, drinking, and
looking at you for a minute.
I mean, I know you've been looking at me. But, man. But, you know, my past is a little different. Well, a lot different, actually. I, you know, I never touched drugs, you know. Got drunk once, and that was pretty much it. But the thing is that, like, I was a confident people pleaser, I was a warrior, I was a glutton, and not just food, but just kind of like, you know, my hobbies, you know, reading comics, playing games, you know, doing whatever, just spending a lot of time pleasing myself. I was a people pleaser and a, well, you know, a self-pleaser. And, you know, those things dominated my life. They controlled who I was. Mm. And seeing the opportunity to have a relationship with God and with Jesus freed me from all that stuff.
Nice. That's great.
I also didn't do a lot of drugs. But I was too religious. I remember Sarah telling me in my Bible study I was almost too religious to get saved. But I was also a hypocrite when nobody was looking, or when I was amongst my non-Christian friends, I would swear and tell dirty jokes, and, you know, because I wasn't around a Christian friend, so they wouldn't know. Not even thinking about the fact, you know, God's still there. So I would, you know, say impure things. I would think impure things. And so I was super religious, and when people would, you know, when my Christian friends were around, it was, you know, oh, I'm all holier than thou, and I'm this perfect little angel, and I do no wrong. But when nobody else was there, when I was around people that didn't care, and it was, oh, I can do whatever I want.
Wow. Thank you for sharing. We all have history. You know, we all have something in common. We were lost. Many of us were insecure or angry, or we tried to please ourselves. But Peter had a history as well. And we see his history coming out. It was natural for him to associate with Jews. Jews never talked to Gentiles. They never ate with Gentiles. So it was his go-to place. The law of circumcision is what he fell back on. That was natural for him. That's what he grew up knowing. So what is it for you? What from your past, what from your history is coming out now? Is it this drive and need to have an emotional connection with God? And if you don't have this intense emotional connection, then you're completely lost and you don't know what to do. You can't be righteous. Man, I don't feel close to God, and so I can't read, I can't pray, I can't be pure, I can't do anything. Is it that you feel held back by getting advice and talking with people? And you're just like, you know what? I just want to do what I want to do. Why do I have to go through all these checkpoints or whatever to finally do what I want to do? Let me just be free. Maybe it's that. Or maybe it's you have a fear of really letting your heart completely to God. And you've done that with someone, or and they've hurt you. And so you hold on to your heart. You don't fully get in there. You don't let it go. You don't fully trust. You don't fully believe. And you're afraid that God will not satisfy your deepest desires. And so you hold back. Or maybe it's you just had a drive to be satisfied in the moment. You know, walking with God is not always satisfying in the moment. Many times it's not. Our reward is after we die.
Man.
And who knows when that's going to be. Our true reward is when Jesus comes back. It's almost been 2,000 years. So who knows how long we have to wait until we get our reward. Is it freedom? Is it fear? Is it that you want control? Is it the fear of the unknown or the uncertain? You know, for me,
When I first became a Christian, and I still have to work on this now, I remember my roommates would ask me, hey, where are you going? I'd be like, why do you care? Don't ask me that. Because I would never tell anybody where I was going or what I was doing. Because I was my own man. I could do what I want. I remember when I got married and Roxanne would ask me, so where are you going? I'm like, why do you care? And it was just such a big adjustment. But, you know, I wanted to live life to the edge and to the extremes. And I can still do that with God, but it looks different than what it did in the world.
Yeah.
So what is it for you? What thing from your past is holding you back? What is the thing that you should have died to or you did die to that's coming back? You know, Paul is reminding Peter and everybody else in that room, and I think that's why Paul corrected him in front of so many people, is that because there was many people in the wrong, and he's reminding them that we have all died. He said, don't you remember you died to this? Stop it. You've been crucified with Christ, and we no longer live. This is not your life anymore.
Amen.
You live by faith. We now live for Jesus.
Amen.
We cannot go back to our old ways. You cannot just sit with the Jews. You can't give in to your fears and your insecurities or your pleasures or your passions. You gotta turn away from your old ways, your old habits, your confidences and your routines. All that stuff died. And Paul was just reiterating something Jesus taught. We know that Jesus converted Paul, and so Paul was basically taught by Jesus. And if you turn to John chapter 12, this is where this teaching originates from. In John chapter 12, starting in verse 23... Jesus just had his triumphal entry. People are praising him and worshiping him, laying down palms and coats and everything. And he comes in on the donkey. And he's about to tell them something incredible. Starting in verse 23, it says, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now my heart is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No. It was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it only remains a single seed. But if it dies, it will produce many seeds. If you do not die to yourself, you will be ineffective and unproductive in God's kingdom. You will have no impact. Zero. And that's why this is so profound. Such an amazing thing. It's because death is a hard thing. It's scary for many people. I should say most. It's a scary thought. And especially dying to yourself. That's a challenging thing. And Jesus was the epitome of this scripture. He lived it out completely. And we know that from Acts chapter 1, that when Jesus went up to heaven, there was 120 disciples. And 3 years of the Son of God walking this earth, he got 120 followers. And then right after he dies, and Peter stands up and preaches, 3,000 in one day decide to follow Jesus. 3 years, 120, one day, 3,000. It's because he died that that happened. If Jesus never died, it would have never been 3,000. Obviously, if he never rose, the same. But it took Jesus 3 years, and it took the disciples one day, because one man decided to die. We have life through Jesus' death.
Amen.
We have life through his death. Amen. That's awesome.
Yes.
You know, I was reading National Geographic, and I like to think of myself as a nerd. And National Geographic has some awesome stuff. I mean, outside of pictures. That's what I mostly look at with it. But I found this article, and they found some seeds. It was like somewhere in Russia or something, somewhere very cold. And they found these seeds. It was 124 feet buried. And, you know, it was buried under stone and dirt and ice. They even found mammoth bones above it. But when they took out these seeds and they carbon dated them, they discovered that they were 32,000 years old. 32,000-year-old seeds. And the incredible thing is these seeds germinated and produced a plant.
Wow.
32,000-year-old seeds produced a plant. Wow. That blew my mind. And it broke the previous record by 30,000 years. I mean, that's a pretty good, you know, dominating record. So I don't know if it'll ever be broken, but a 32,000-year-old seed was germinated, and it created this flowering plant. And there's pictures of it. It's this white flower. It's awesome. It's like, it's an ancient plant. And this made me realize that no matter how long it's been, no matter how much stuff you're buried by, no matter how cold your heart is, no matter how much sin there is, no matter how much fear there is, or anger, or bitterness, if you die to yourself, you will be planted and you will germinate.
Amen.
A 32,000-year-old seed was germinated. And that showed me, man, it's never too late.
Yeah, that's right.
It's never too late. If you're like, well, you don't know me. Man, I got so much stuff in my life. There's so much hidden sin. There's so much things I'm being deceitful about. Just die. Just die. And you will produce a beautiful flower.
Amen.
It'll be incredible. God will glorify himself through your life. Because the fact is that we are promised today. We are not promised tomorrow. And if you're hearing this now, that means you have the chance to die. That means that you are the seed of great potential. And that you can die. And that you can be different. And you can change. But you have to act today. Because tomorrow is not promised.
Yeah.
Who knows what's going to happen tomorrow? Who knows what's going to happen in 10 minutes? We have no idea. The trumpet could sound. And the dead will rise and we'll be transformed in a twinkling of an eye. So don't delay. Don't continue to be buried by sin and burden and have a cold heart. Just change and die.
Amen.
In verse 25... Jesus says, the man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant will also be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. My Father will honor the one who serves me. The only way to get these benefits is by dying. Dying now, and then obviously our physical death. But Jesus is saying, God himself will honor you. He will honor you. Because you serve Jesus, because you decided to hate your life and die to yourself. God will honor you. He will say your name, and he'll probably stand up and applaud for you. Imagine that. God himself, the creator of everything, will honor you for one simple decision. To no longer let your old habits and fears control you, but to be different and to follow Jesus and to serve him. And Jesus says, where I am, my servant will be also. And we know where Jesus is. He's standing next to the Father. He's in heaven. And that's where we will be.
Amen.
I don't know. I mean, you guys, I guess it's been a long work week or something, because you guys don't seem too excited about that.
Come on,
I don't know what else to say. I mean, it's an immense blessing and honor for God to recognize you.
I mean, you think about these Grammys and Emmys. I mean, you see those actors, they're just like, they're loving it. The singers, they finally get their name mentioned. And man, they're up there and most of them speak too long. They have to start playing the music. Yeah. But God is going to stand. And he's going to say your name. And he's going to welcome you. He's going to give you a prize. He's going to give you a room. He's going to give you your inheritance.
Amen.
He's going to say, you did it. You're here. You're with me. It was worth it. We see that death is the beginning to life. There's no way you can follow Jesus if you don't die to yourself. It's impossible. It won't happen. The only way to get these benefits, what Jesus is talking about, is if you hate your life, meaning you die. You crucify yourself. That is the only way. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15. So we know death is the beginning. It is the beginning of following God. It is the beginning to be productive and effective for God. It is the beginning of everything. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting in verse 50, we've been talking about dying to ourselves now. And now we're going to talk about when we die physically. It says, I declare to you, brothers, verse 50, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain.
Amen.
Paul is telling us that, man, not all of us are going to sleep, meaning not all of us are going to die. But when the trumpet sounds, the dead will rise, and if we're still alive, we'll have a new body in the twinkling of an eye, in a flash. I don't know what our bodies are going to be like, but if it's somewhat like this, and even better, it's going to be awesome. And we know that we will not be tempted by sin. We will not get hungry. We will not get tired. We will not get frustrated. We will not get sick. It's going to be awesome. Life through death. We must die to follow God. To have a lasting impact, to multiply, to have a new life. You have to die. To glorify God and to honor God. And if ourselves, if we want glory and honor, we must die.
Amen.
Death is the only way to get all of these. And the one day we will no longer need to die. We will no longer need to die physically, and we will no longer need to die to ourselves. We will just be. We will be with God. We will be like God. We will be there. We will see Him face to face. We know that if anyone sees God, he will die. I guess just like explode from awesomeness. But one day we will see God face to face. In fact, He will touch us. He says He will wipe away the tears from our eyes. We will be with God. We will no longer need to die. There will be nothing that needs to be changed. There will be repenting. There will be nothing I need to work on. There will be no more prayer. There will be no more faith. It will all be by sight. We will walk. We will be. It's just going to be perfect.
Amen.
But the only way to get there is through death. The only way. There's no other way around it. And so it's worth it. And that's what Paul is reminding Peter. Peter, it's worth it, man. Don't go back to the old ways. It's worth dying to. Think about what you're going to get. Think about the honor and glory that God's going to give you. He's going to call your name. He's going to say, come up here. He's going to give us a hug and a kiss. He's going to say, I love you. Good job. Great work. Thank you for being my servant. I'm so happy that you're faithful. We're going to have new bodies. We're going to be with our God.
Amen.
And what does Paul say? He said, because of these facts, these are facts, we will be changed. He says, let nothing move you. No fear, no uncomfortability, no sin, no death. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord.
Amen.
Don't ever look back.
Amen.
Don't ever think about the old life. Don't ever think about anything other than God. It's worth it, guys.
Amen.
The pain that we're feeling, being tired and frustrated and confused and battling and praying, it's all worth it.
Amen.
Don't ever give up.
Amen.
Don't ever give up.
Amen.
Keep dying to yourself. Keep saying no to those desires and temptations. Mm-hmm. Just say no and look to God. He will help you. God has brought us a long way. I mean, a couple of us share about how we used to be. I mean, it'd be tough to talk to those people, right? It'd be tough to talk to me back in the day. But God has brought us so far. Just think about 5 years ago where you were. Some of us weren't Christians. Some of us were. Just think about where you were 5 years ago. And look where you are now. Probably you've had a lot of growth. If you've been backsliding or walking away, you need to change that.
Amen.
Because you will not inherit any of this. You're not dying. You're trying to hold on to your life.
Amen.
Just let it go.
Amen.
Evaluate what you need to die to all over again. I mean, we all have that stuff, right? We all got stuff we got to work on. I got a list. I got like pages. I'm like, all right, one at a time. All right, check. All right, all right, check. You know, it's just, we have stuff, but don't let that discourage you. Don't let that hold you back. Don't let that shake you.
Amen.
Don't let anything shake you. I mean, it's really no surprise. God's goal is for us to be like Jesus.
That's right. Yeah.
I mean, if Jesus was in this room, we'd all be like, I'm not worthy. You know, we wouldn't be able to stand in front of him.
Yeah.
There's no way. None of us would be like, hey, man, I'm not your disciple. You know, he's like, oh, Jesus, that's who you are like, and that's who I'm to be. Wow. I have so much to grow in.
Yeah. Yeah.
So don't let that hold you back.
Amen.
So what? When we're like 60 and 70 years old, if we make it, we're still going to have stuff to work on.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to have to like not spoil our grandkids and stuff like that. I mean, I don't know what 70-year-olds deal with, but we're all going to have stuff to work on. That's the point, all right? But look ahead to the glory and honor that is given to those who die to themselves.
Amen.
God will honor you. I mean, if there's anything that you should desire, it's for God to honor you.
Amen.
I just think about that, man. What is that going to be like? What is that even going to look like? I mean, is he going to call us up to his throne and give us a crown and put it on us? Is he just going to embrace us and show us around? Is he going to tell us all the things that he's proud of us for? I don't know. I imagine it's that and so much more. I mean, just focus on the glory and honor that is ahead.
Amen.
We have to die. You have to choose to die on a daily basis. I mean, each and every day we wake up, we really have to decide, okay, I'm going to be a disciple today.
Yeah.
I'm going to live this out.
Mm-hmm.
That's a daily decision that we have to make.
Yeah.
If that's something that, you know what, I haven't made that daily decision in a while. I haven't thought about that. When I wake up, all right, today I'm going to die. Wow. make those changes. Do what it takes. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's kind of just, it's silly not to, really, when you think about the reward that is ahead of us. It's like, okay, just persevere for a little bit and you'll just be ridiculous. You'll have the best of everything. So choose life by dying. Okay, I hope you guys are encouraged by this. I mean, it's coming up on the holidays and they can be difficult. You know, the campus, they got finals coming up and they're just like about to rip out their eyes. But take heart. Take heart. God is with us. He's here to help us. He's here to guide us. And he has great things in store for us.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.